Hank from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Katz.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
John Trumbull, how are you, sir? Post-Halloween, how are you feeling? Good?
I mean, you know, we've been through Halloween, we've been through the daylight saving time, the seasonal depression is starting to sink in nicely.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Like, oh, crap, it's dark at 5:30 now. Crap. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting colder. Oh, I got to get my hoodie. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cold like my soul.
Oh, I got to buy some warm socks and a new sweater. But
election day is coming up.
Yeah.
Got to vote for the new overseer or oppressor.
Yeah.
Oof. We get dark and bleak right up the top, folks.
Well, we kind of do. I mean, we live in dark and bleak times, so I think that's understandable. We will boost each other's mood as the podcast goes on. You know, I've been thinking lately.
What?
I know. It's a rare occurrence.
But I
realize what we've been doing wrong with the podcast all this time. Like we occasionally talk about like, hey, you know, we're doing a pretty good product here. Why isn't the podcast more popular? Why isn't it like spreading virally? I figured out what we're doing wrong.
Let's do it. Hit me.
What we needed to do is have like this huge hit sitcom first.
Mm.
Segue into hosting a podcast like The Office Ladies or the Scrubs Rewatch podcast. And just learn that there's a podcast for How I Met Your Mother.
That sounds about right.
Northern Exposure are doing one too. Like, that's the big thing. It's like, you got to become super famous first and then do the podcast.
Damn it! We're hustling backwards. We should be, yeah. We should have
backwards
made
all this time.
Should have made it first and then done the son of a beast.
Exactly. You know, Ego and Heidi are doing like a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, no, Ego.
I think Ego's doing a podcast, and Heidi was on it as the first guest. Maybe.
Yeah. Like, she has a podcast called Thanks Dad, where she talks to people about their fathers, and then they kind of tangent off into other things. And Heidi was on. It was a really good episode. And of course, there's the Amy Poehler podcast, Good Hang. Kyle and Beck have a podcast.
There's a Lonely Island podcast.
Oh my God.
Where Seth Meyers and the guys from the Lonely Island are rewatching all the Lonely Island sketches. They're also dropping bits. There's Fly on the Wall with Dana Carvey and David Spade. Basically, I guess I'm just saying thank you for spending time with some non-famous people.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank your support means the world to us.
We realize you have many entertainment options for your podcast. So thanks for spending a little time with us.
Yes, our little small business endeavor here. Thank you.
Yes,
but yeah, enough of all that. Blabbermouthing. Let's talk about this episode with Mr. Miles Teller. And a one Brandi Carlile.
Yeah, Miles Teller hosting for the second time. Brandi Carlile back for the fourth or fifth time, I think. I lose track.
Yeah, it's about fourth or fifth. She was just on recently with Elton John, like in April of this year. So to see her come back so quickly was a little surprising.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess she's become a favorite there. This, by the way, if you're listening to this sometime in the future, season 51, episode 4, air date November 1st, 2025. Mm-hmm. So,
this would be interesting.
Yeah, I was a little mixed on this one going in. I knew I would like Brandi Carlile. I was kind of mixed on Miles Teller. I'm not too nuts about Miles Teller in general. So, and I remembered nothing about his previous hosting gig. So,
yeah, his previous hosting gig, I remember the episode didn't go over too well. The sketch with he's like a buff Grimace was a little too odd for people, and he didn't really razzle dazzle everybody with his performances. But I will say, in this episode, I think he does better. I think this episode was better than his first time out.
Yeah.
I will say that.
So this was somebody I was a little surprised that they asked back.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And Brandi Carlile, this is her fourth time on the show. She was on, back in April with Elton John. So, like, not too long ago.
Miles Teller, I was kind of surprised that they asked him back to host, because I didn't think he was that exceptional of a host the first time around.
Yeah, I mean, he is a good actor. But you mean, as far as sketch comedy, he's, you know, so-so. He doesn't, you know, he plays the part. He's good. But yeah, but like, I don't think anybody was, he gave such a great performance that people were like, oh, we need to have him back. He definitely needs to be back. Like, you know, it wasn't like a, like an Adam Driver or whatever. So yeah, so I was also surprised to see him come back the way he did. And I will say he was better. His episode, I think overall, was better this time around than he was the first time, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And actually, my opinion on this episode even changed a little bit when I was rewatching some sketches just before we started recording. So we'll get into it. Let's, shall we?
We shall. Let's start with the cold open. SNL finally talking about the New York City mayoral race with the NYC mayoral debate, cold open.
Yeah, so we start out with Keenan as moderator Errol Lewis, and he's breaking the fourth wall a little bit early on. He's saying, like, I'm the least famous person ever to be impersonated on SNL, and, you know, like, you don't know me, but trust me, it's dead on. Don't know how I feel about that, but okay.
Okay. And yeah, and then we finally get the mayoral debate. We, you know, of course, all celebrity cameos. We got our host, Miles Teller, playing Andrew Cuomo. Rami Youssef, former SNL guest host, playing Zoran Mamdani. And
shame that SNL doesn't have anybody in the cast who could possibly play Zoran Mamdani.
Don't get me started.
I just put in my notes, in all caps, why is this not Emil Joaquim?
He was right there. He was right.
He was right there, tailor-made for him.
They did
our boy dirt.
I was
just watching like a clip of his stand-up this afternoon. You know, like he was appearing at the Comedy Cellar. Funny stuff. It's just, hey, SNL missed the boat there, man.
They really, don't get me started, John. Please, we got to keep this short.
We are a little pressed for time today. Yes, we also have, as number three, we have Shane Gillis as Curtis Sliwa. We got three candidates. Not a one of them is played by a cast member.
Nope, we're back to our old tricks. This is what we're doing.
I'm just like, why? Okay, yeah, I get putting the host in there. I get maybe having a ringer in there, but like, why are we still doing this Shane Gillis thing?
I don't know. I mean, I will say, look, I'm not a huge Shane Gillis guy. Like, I've seen him host SNL twice, and both times I was very underwhelmed, and I was like, I don't see the hype. He did do a little bit better in this cold open, but yeah, like, I don't understand why we couldn't have gotten one of our cast members. Why couldn't have this been, like, you know, Jeremy Culhane or Tommy Brennan or whoever? Like, we have all these new people. Let's let them shine and do their thing.
Yeah, I don't get... Look, okay, SNL's going to SNL. We're going to have some ringers. We're going to have some celebrity cameos and stuff, but they're not that big of a celebrity. So what, you know, why is this a thing? I don't.
Yeah.
It bugs me when they're not using any of the cast. That's just.
Yeah. And like, I mean, it really bugs me too. Cause like, I actually thought this cold open was okay. It was actually pretty good up until a point, but we'll get there. But I mean, they had like a lot of good lines in there. I do like how they had, you know, Shane Gillis as Curtis Sliwa. You know, of course, talk about how, you know, the real Curtis Sliwa got shot in the back of a cab by the Gotti's and Gambinos in the 90s. But then they just kind of kept going up and up and, you know, talking about how he, you know, his dad was kidnapped and tied to the tracks of the Coney Island cyclone. You know, and like him.
Didn't he talk about losing his penis at some point, too?
Yes, he had his penis cut off and fed to him by the Yakuza. Like, sure. I did think the escalation on that was pretty funny.
Yeah. We see Cam Patterson, no relation, very briefly, as current New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
Yeah, that impression was a little... He kind of phoned that in. It was
kind of sucked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of sucked.
It's pretty slapdash. There was one really dark joke that that I'm surprised made it into this cold open, because where we have Keenan as the moderator talking about the sponsor of the debates, he mentions, you know, sponsored by bike lanes. You want a new way to die? Bike lanes. And then he does one about sponsored by the Hudson Yards. Shop, dine, or take the easy way out, Hudson Yards, which I was like, whoa. Because, you know what that's in reference to, right? What that joke was? Or
It kind of went by me. I didn't really make a note of it.
I had a feeling that might be like more of a regional New York thing. So,
Are we going to get to hear about how you used to live in New York?
Hey, guys, I don't know if you know this, but I'm a native New Yorker.
Yeah.
I'm from New York. So, trigger warning, I guess, for what I'm about to say next. So in New York City, there's this area called the Hudson Yards that they just built up, where it's full of like shops and restaurants and stuff. And there's this huge, huge structure called the Vessel that is like, it looks like a huge pine cone, but it's like, I don't know, it's like a bunch of stories tall. You could like walk up the steps and take selfies with it and everything. And they had to put in like safety guards on it because, like, within the first few months or so, there was this sort of rash.
A lot of suicides?
Yeah.
Jumpers?
Yes, there was a rash of people climbing up the Vessel and falling to their deaths and jumping to their deaths. So, to have that line, shop, dine, or take the easy way out, I was like, shit.
That is dark.
That is dark.
You did not lie.
Yeah, it's like, that's a joke that only if you're in New York you'd get. But like, wow.
If you're in New York or a listener to the SNL Nerds podcast.
Yes. Now I put you all on game, my children.
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, because we can't have a cold open without Trump coming in and interrupting and starting babbling. We have James Austin Johnson as Donald Trump coming in, and he's babbling about his cognitive test. And then he does the song from Phantom of the Opera, Music of the Night. And it's just, you know, it's just a very typical lazy SNL opening, which I was kind of disappointed by.
Yeah, no, see, this is the point where I was like, all right, because I thought the cold open was actually pretty good up until Trump comes out. Because, like, this cold open did not need Trump. I don't know why they had to shoehorn him in.
Trump coming in and interrupting and then just commenting on everything. There's no novelty to it anymore. Yeah. It's just a thing that they do, and it's not even unexpected now.
Yeah, and we don't need it, because especially since we're going to see Trump again in a pre-tape in the same show. So, like, maybe the writers felt like, oh, I don't know if this cold open is strong enough, so let's throw Trump in there to really bring it home. I was like, no.
I don't know. I don't know if it's supposed to be like a meta joke about how Trump kind of sucks up all the oxygen in the room because he's such a damn narcissist and everything about him. But
That doesn't read,
there's no surprise to it anymore, so therefore it's not especially funny. So
yeah. So I mean, I did like this cold open up until the Trump part. I was like, you didn't need this, guys. You really
I didn't like the cold open much, because just the fact that, like, the only cast member we're seeing at the beginning was Keenan, and then it's just three celebrity cameos.
Yeah.
I mean, that already started off on a bad foot with me. So, yeah, I was not a fan of this cold open, really, at all.
Yeah. And actually, another thing I didn't notice until recently, like, this is a pretty Keenan-heavy episode, too. So I'll be interested in seeing how you feel about this whole episode as a whole. Keenan does a lot in this episode.
I don't want to go on a Keenan rant every freaking week.
Keenan rant.
I've made my thoughts on Keenan known. I don't think he's bad or untalented. I just think he's been on the show way too long, and we've seen everything in his bag of tricks.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many other ways I can say that. So,
have you said it in a different language? Maybe Dutch?
I could try it with an accent.
Yeah, there you go. Say it. What's a non-offensive accent you can do?
I mean, I could do any white person accent. I could do like British or Irish or Scottish, or I could if I were like a capable actor.
Russian, you could do Australian.
Yeah, you're way overestimating my ability.
Don't care for Keenan too much, do I?
It would be much more palatable coming from an Australian.
He's been on the show forever, hasn't he?
Crikey!
We said crikey together. Oh man, I love it.
So we got the Miles Teller monologue comes out, talks about, you know, it's one of those sort of meandering monologues I like doing now, where you can tell they just talk to the host for 10 minutes and they're like, oh yeah, let's put that in.
Yeah, this is one super short, not much at all. It's just him. He talks about Halloween weekend, him and his sister dressed up as the Roxbury guys when they were kids, and they showed
weird costumes because they like both have mustaches.
And I'm yeah,
like, they neither one of the Pataby brothers had mustaches, but okay,
no, not at all. I don't know.
I mean, I get it. You're kids. You're doing it on a budget. Maybe your parents didn't quite know who the characters were. I did relate to where he talked about how he's moved around a lot.
Yes.
As a kid, and people say, like, you know, because, like, I moved around a lot as a kid, too, like, once on the average every 5 years. And, yeah, and he talked about how he moved around a lot with his family, and people are like, you know, they say, where are you from? I don't know. Top Gun 2?
Hey-o.
That was a cute line.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. And then he got really serious and talked about how, you know, his wife and himself lost their house in the Palisades fire. And
yeah,
it's like, oh, wow. We brought
yeah,
it,
and I was like, oh, well, now I'm going to feel bad if I bash him tonight.
Yeah. If you bash him, just remember, John, you're bashing a homeless man.
Yeah.
So I hope you're. So,
yeah, because of course I felt bangs of sympathy for him, because I know how tough that is to, you know, lose everything you have and just have to start all over. But I did like how he felt compelled to point out the fire exits.
Yeah. So, you know,
that was a cute way to end it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought this monologue was fine. Not too much there to critique, really.
It's fine. Nothing to write home about, but it got the job done.
Absolutely. So. And for a sketch of the night, what did I do last night?
Or, as it is known on YouTube, Hungover Halloween Game Show. Why does SNL insist on flashing one title on the screen and then another title on YouTube? Just call it Hungover Halloween Game Show on the show, folks.
I'm positive AI is just naming whatever it wants to name it.
Well, look, I know why you do it, because, you know, SEO and algorithm and blah, blah, blah. You want to make it easy for people to find when they're searching and they don't know the actual name, but... I'm just like, why put another title up on screen?
I don't know. All right, so it's a game show sketch. You know, SNL's first time
uncharted territory for SNL.
Yeah, I think this is their first time doing it.
First time ever. In November of 2025. Yes.
Yes, we're breaking new ground here, people.
Keenan is our host, Gay Fopé.
Ha!
So already, we're doing silly names for the host. So it's like, oh, do we really have that little?
And the basic idea of the sketch is that the contestants, they're all hungover from Halloween, the day after Halloween, and they have to answer questions, trying to figure out what they all did last night. And of course, the grand prize is a large PA light and a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Right, right. And so we see Miles Teller. He's in like a corn on the cob outfit. He said he clawed the castle last night, which was like some sort of combination of like he slammed this number of White Claws and then went to White Castle.
Okay.
It was something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. He drank 14 White Claws and ate at White Castle.
We have Veronica, who was, she was a character, Elizabeth. She was playing a sexy cat, and she was kind of disheveled because she had a rough night.
She's kind of missing a tooth, I believe.
Yeah. We have... Ben Marshall as Ron from Delaware. What was he dressed up as? I'm forgetting.
Like a vampire.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're basically answering questions about the humiliating things they did last night that they do not remember.
Yeah. So. Like who did you bite and where did you bite them? The penalty.
Who did you hook up with?
Yeah. Who did you hook up with? They show a video of Ben Marshall's character peeing on an ATM and getting bit by Elizabeth's character.
Yeah.
And the prize for Ben watching the video is getting to sit in a chair.
Yeah.
I
thought decent concept.
Decent.
I just didn't find it really funny.
Yeah.
And again, I'm kind of perplexed, like, why we're leading off the night with this.
Yeah, I mean, just because it's... Halloween just happened, or so they're just like,
oh, yeah, maybe because is... like Halloween just happened, or maybe it's like it's a game show sketch, so Lorne and his crew are just automatically like, oh, it's a game show sketch, it goes up to the top of the show. They always like putting the game show sketches up top.
I don't know why that. I don't know why that is.
It's they're just. I mean, I don't begrudge them being enamored of game show sketches. I get it. It gives you an instant structure. But does it always have to be the very first sketch out of the gate? It's so weird.
So weird. But yeah, and also, I don't know. I felt like the pacing in this sketch was a little odd. There was like some weird pauses and I don't know. Weird beats.
This one just didn't really send me.
This was kind of... Okay.
Just sort of a nothing sketch.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, but nothing really there.
Yeah.
Are we get our pre-tape?
We get a pre-tape, or as I tried to type pre-tape in my phone, and the autocorrect changed it to predator.
Oh, that comes next.
Yeah. So my phone said. Predator White House makeover.
That's pretty accurate.
Appropriate.
Yeah, that's pretty on the nose. Wow.
Yeah.
Even your phone knows what's up.
Yeah. Even my phone. Did you mean Predator?
I kind of did.
Well, yes, I did.
I kind of did.
Kind of did. Not bad, iPhone.
Yeah.
The joke here is that Trump is hiring the Property Brothers, Drew, and Jonathan Scott from HDTV, or HGTV, excuse me. And he's hiring them to build the new ballroom, and because Trump's been busy destroying the East Wing and doing all this in the middle of a government shutdown. We live in hell.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, some pretty interesting visuals because they had... Miles Teller play both brothers, and
yeah,
I thought that was pretty visually.
I mean, like technically, it's really good. You kind of forget that it's like one guy playing two parts. So
yeah, it's like Sinners.
Yeah, it kind of is. I like how Trump came in. He's like, so which one of you is married to the new girl, and which one of you is gay?
Yeah, the gay
or the gay. I think he said.
Like I'm married
which to I know. Honestly didn't even realize that one of the Property Brothers was gay. So
is he? I don't know if he is. I thought that was a joke.
I didn't fact check that. I was just taking. That
okay,
as...
let's before you out one of the Property Brothers. I mean, well, let's just double check on that.
Well, I'm
I mean, he's just very well groomed. I thought. I don't know.
Okay. What Jonathan Scott? Okay, he's got his own entry on the Wikipedia. Okay. Let's go down to personal life. He has two dogs, Gracie and Stewie, who he calls his kids. Ba 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 ba.
Okay. People are waiting with bated breath.
It says in the summer of 2007, Scott married his longtime girlfriend, Kelsey Uli.
Okay.
They eventually divorced. He dated Jacinta Kuznetsov, a Canadian radio producer.
Kuznetsov.
Oh, no, wait. This is... Okay, no, this is the one who's married to Zoe Deschanel now.
Okay, so
I want the other Property Brother.
Yeah,
I thought it was Jonathan who was... They were saying it was the...
No, it's Drew Scott.
It's Drew. Okay.
And
let's go to Drew. Personal life. Mentions a wife. That was very long.
Yeah, he's got a wife and two kids, and... So,
Trump, the character of Trump was just an error.
Yeah. Our president our president speaking out of turn and making errors. That's not like him.
Okay. Oh yeah. There's something in here about a 2-year fertility journey that included IUI and IVF treatments. Okay. Mm. I was just taking that as fact, but.
No, I think he was just like, he's a well-groomed man with product in his hair. He must be one of them gays.
Okay. I had no idea. Don't watch the Property Brothers. I'm not up on them. So.
Not me neither.
I know of them, but anyway. Okay.
Right.
This was a tangent that led nowhere. So we're, you know, he's hiring them to do the White House ballroom. We got James Austin Johnson as Trump. We got Chloe as Melania. They pack a lot of gags into this. I will give them that. I mean, they're talking about how they're mistaking her Christmas decorations for Halloween decorations because she just, I don't know, that woman's aesthetic is just the weirdest thing.
It's very Eastern European bloc. Spooky.
Trump talks about how he also wants a ring for MMA fights, both official and unofficial.
But that's actually happening, though, isn't it? Because that's what kind of, I was like, I think that's from real. I remember hearing something about, like, he's going to have, like, an MMA fight on the lawn of the White House. Like, I mean, that's the one thing that's kind of made me kind of not like this sketch as much. Just because
I thought you were going to say, this is the thing that made me not like Trump. Yeah, I was with him up until this point.
Yeah. After that, I was like, no more.
I'm done.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, with this pre-tape, like, a lot of the stuff that's said and done here just seemed kind of plausible, and that just bumped me out.
Well, that, you know, that's why the man is so tough to parody, because he's just so out there, and the stuff he does is so outrageous and so egregious and all that. I did like how they, at one point, had a picture of Jabba the Hutt and Princess Leia. I think that was on Trump's vision board.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of funny.
And they had a good gag about how they were, because we're still in the government shutdown, they were forcing out-of-work park rangers and astronauts to do the demolition of the East Wing.
Yeah, like, part of me, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, that could actually maybe happen. I hope not.
Yeah, and then, you know, at the end of the sketch, because Trump never wants to pay anybody, he's like, hey, you two are Canadian, right? And they're like, yeah, and he has ICE seize them. I was kind of mixed. This was one of the better sketches of the night, I would say.
I thought it was okay.
And I think James Austin Johnson's Trump, he is more tolerable in a film sketch than he is just busting into the cold open and doing the same thing we've seen him do a million times.
Yeah, like, I find him more, like you said, tolerable when he's interacting with other people. Like, when he's bouncing.
Absolutely. He has people to play off of here.
Yes, when he's playing off of people, bouncing off of other people. Like, when he's the, you know, the wild weirdo, and he's bouncing off, like, you know, straight man, it's better than him just screaming his diatribe of verbal nonsense.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, Chloe is killing it as Melania, and Miles Teller is doing a good job as the Property Brothers. So, yeah, I mean, I thought this was pretty good overall. I don't know if it needed to be 4.5 minutes, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah, they could have trimmed this and made it a little bit tighter, but overall, I thought this was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we got Hockey PSA.
Hockey PSA. This is, I mean, we got Andrew Dismukes and Ashley Padilla, and they're basically like co-directing this PSA with various hockey players.
Right. So
I would be very shocked if they didn't have a hand in writing this.
Yeah, it sounds like something that they would have had a hand in. So they're directing a PSA for community outreach for the NHL. They have three hockey players there. We have Tommy Brennan playing a player for the LA Kings, Ben Marshall playing a player for the New York Rangers, and Teller as a player for the Nashville Predators.
You know where this is going, don't you?
As soon as you hear Nashville, the Predators, you're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everyone who just heard this description could write their own ending of the sketch, and they probably would be pretty close to what SNL did.
Yeah, and so they have him saying things like, I'm a predator, or, you know, working in the hospitals to make sick kids feel touched, and,
I'm a predator in my community. I'm visiting Thailand to hopefully rub off on some kids so they can become predators like me.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Wow. And of course, at the end, they all have to say their name and the position they play for and the team.
Yeah.
So, of course, Miles Teller says his name is Chase Kidd, right wing predator.
Yeah.
And I mean, the one thing I did like a little bit is, like, Miles Teller character, Chase Kidd, who's not a real player, but, you know, Chase Kidd. Right. Like, he's sort of saying, hey, to Dismukes and Padilla, like, hey, this, you know, I don't feel comfortable saying this. You realize how it sounds, right? And the two of them are being very indignant. They're like, you know, it's calling him a diva. I think the way they played it made the sketch a little bit better than it would.
They're giving it their all in the performance. And yeah, I think the writing was sort of predictable, but I think the performances redeemed it somewhat, you know, and Teller's doing a good job.
Yes.
I thought it was a little weird at the end. We're showing testimonials from kids, and we have like two cast members playing kids and then one real kid.
Yeah, that was weird, right?
That was odd, right?
Like, why don't just have them either all kids or get, you know, Sarah Sherman in there. She kind of looks like a kid. Just make her the third kid. That was a little odd.
That threw me out a little bit because it's just like, you don't see SNL do that much. It's usually like cast members playing a kid. Fine. Great. No problem. Or you have a real kid with a line or two of dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe they thought it would read more if they had an actual kid saying, this is the predator that forever altered the course of my life.
Yeah. I get wanting a real kid for that bit, but it's just weird that it's two. I don't know. Maybe they just didn't want to pay three kids.
We don't have three kids money.
You know, like we got to pay Shane Gillis this week.
Yeah. Have you seen his writer?
I don't know. It just made me scratch my head a little bit. So
it did raise my eyebrows as well.
Yeah. I was like, what's up with that, SNL? What's going on here?
Ooh, wee. What up with that? What up with that?
This is what I'm saying. Yes.
This is what I'm saying. Next up, we get another pre-tape. We got Missing Wives docuseries.
So it's three husbands. We got Kenan. We got Miles Teller. We got Ben Marshall. And they're all husbands. And all their wives have vanished without a trace. But it comes out very quickly that none of their wives have actually been kidnapped or murdered or anything like that. It's just, one has gone on a business trip, one went to her sister's for the weekend, and one, Sarah Sherman, was, like, in the bathroom.
Yeah, like I was taking a dump.
And the husbands are so clueless, they're like, and the kidnappers left cryptic notes, like, reheat this in the microwave for 4 minutes. What does this mean?
Is this a game to you?
And I like how Teller says, like, you know, after about 24 hours, I decided to move on romantically, so I downloaded Tinder.
Yeah. And, like, they show footage of the husbands talking to the cops, and the cops, like, what's your wife's name? She says, Megan. When's her birthday?
Summer.
I was like, all right, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, the clueless husband thing is kind of a bottomless well. It actually reminded me a little. Do you remember the sketch they did? I think it was a couple seasons ago now, where they had the boyfriend go and run an errand for his girlfriend.
Yes. The Selena Gomez episode. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were like getting distracted by like the bus poster of Ana de Armas.
Don't look at the poster of Ana de Armas.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, great. So it kind of reminded me of that. You know, I liked how Kenan, like, he didn't even recognize his kids. He were like, there were these two little men who were assaulting me. And then they cut to Ashley Padilla. She's like, those are our children.
Yeah,
I think he forgot they existed.
Yeah. I thought this one was pretty good. Like, I liked the footage that they showed of Ashley Padilla, who plays Kenan's wife. Mm-hmm. Like, her telling him directly, I'm going to my sister's in Poughkeepsie. I'll be there. I'll be back Sunday. Where am I going? I'm going to Poughkeepsie. Where am I going? My sister's house in Poughkeepsie. Yeah. And then they show Kenan talk to the cops saying, well, do you have any idea where your wife might be? And he says, well, this could be wrong. This could be an off shop, but maybe she's at the boob store.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that even mean?
I mean, Clueless Husbands is a pretty bottomless well comedically, and I thought this was, it was well written, it was well produced. I think this is probably my sketch of the night.
I think I'm close to there. There's one I liked a little bit better, and that's mainly because of the performances, but we'll get there.
All right. Yeah, there was something else. There's something else coming up where I really like the performances too. So there. Let's add a little suspense to this pod.
Damn, wow. Stay tuned, guys.
Yeah. So, but yeah, but I enjoyed this. This was a funny idea. It was well produced. Didn't overstay its welcome. Well performed. Everybody did a nice job.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't see the turn coming before they got to it. So that's always good.
Yeah, no, it was a good turn. Good turn. Next up, we got Newsroom.
Newsroom. So it's they're doing a news program called News Point. We got Chloe as the anchor, Keenan as the expert. She's consulting with.
Again, Keenan, he's everywhere this episode.
Yeah, he is in this episode a lot. I mean, I guess I've just gotten very used to him being featured a lot, so I didn't notice that it was a particularly heavy episode for him. But the joke in this sketch is it's one of those newsrooms where they're showing the other workers operating in the background to just, I guess, give you the feeling it's a very busy newsroom. They're all doing very important things.
Right. And so all the comedy's happening in the back. It was kind of like the Waffle House sketch on Jenna Ortega episode a little bit.
I have a feeling Mikey Day had a hand in writing this one. So.
I could see that. Yeah,
because I mean, the first thing we see is Mikey Day carrying some drinks and bumping into a wall.
Some really good physical work, some really good falls right there. Like,
good pratfalls. Yeah. Miles Teller comes out and he's like, "Hey, whoever reported me to HR, say it to my face next time."
And he gets on his computer, looks at Big Boob, the anime.
Yeah, he's looking at manga erotica. Yeah. As you do, because you know. I mean, sometimes you just can't wait till the end of the workday to look at that stuff.
Sometimes your workplace ain't got no firewalls. So you take it.
No judgment. It's a free Wi-Fi. I mean, you'd be stupid not to do it, right?
Right, exactly.
Right? And I think that's actually happened, isn't it? I think there's some news clip somewhere on YouTube where you see I remember this now. Anna Paquin was talking about this on some late night show or the other. Mm-hmm. Was apparently there was some news program where it's like this. They're showing the newsroom in the background, and somebody is watching an episode of True Blood on their computer. And it got to, like, one of Anna Paquin's nude scenes.
Oh.
So apparently, like, in the background, you see this person just, like, watching naked Anna Paquin.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, of course, she gets, like, sent that clip a million times. And, you know, it's her amusing anecdote for a late night show.
Wow. Sometimes you can't wait till after quitting time.
Yeah. I guess not.
That man is playing Galaga.
That man is playing Galaga. I also liked we had the printer spitting out loads of paper. Bowen goes up to it and tries to fix it, and he gets electrocuted.
Yeah. Cam Patterson, no relation, comes out, gives out his OnlyFans account.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, just like, oh, you can hit me up on OnlyFans. I do it all, baby.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a wide variety of inappropriate things happening in the background. It was okay. It didn't make me laugh a great, great deal, but...
Yeah, I thought
it was fine.
I thought it was okay. Keenan and Chloe's reactions to it were all right. It just ended up being just okay, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what's not okay? What's actually pretty awesome?
Yeah. What's that?
Brandi Carlile. Heyo.
Brandi Carlile is awesome. Yes, indeed she is. She did two numbers, as SNL music guests are wont to do. She did Church and State, kind of a rockin' number.
Yeah, that one was awesome.
That was kind of awesome. She has like two twins in her band, and they're like both dressed up like the Edge from U2, apparently.
And twins.
I mean, like, they're both in knit caps and sleeveless tees. I was like, oh, we're going as the Edge for Halloween. Okay.
Yeah, that first song, Church and State, that really kind of surprised me because, you know, Brandi Carlile is kind of known as more for like a country folk rock type of sound, but like this song was like straight up rock. Like,
it was a rocker. Yeah,
like almost like, I mean, I've seen people compare it to like maybe like a U2 song. I kind of heard like almost like the Police, like the guitar licks were like the Police in the 80s a little bit. And then there was like that spoken word part.
Little synchronicity, maybe
a little bit. And like there was that one spoken word part where she's kind of quoting like Thomas Jefferson, I believe, about, you know, church and state. That kind of reminded me of, like, Patti Smith a little bit. It was, but like, I really liked that first song. I thought Church and Say.
I really enjoyed the first number too. I thought the second number, Human, that was also good. I just, I don't have quite as much to say about that, but
yeah, I mean, it was also good. A little bit slower, but still, I mean, Brandi Carlile, she always delivers. Every time I hear she's gonna be on SNL, like I'm always like, all right, the music is gonna.
I look forward to it now when it's announced that she's gonna be on, because I've done nothing but enjoy her when she's popped up. And I do want to hit on something where I haven't hit on with the musical guests for a little while.
Hit me.
But I want to get back to it. Is let's tackle the question, does Lorne know who the musical guest is? Because Lorne Michaels, you know, as great of a track record he is an 80-year-old man now.
But
he's not necessarily keeping up with all the latest musical artists of today.
Yeah,
so,
but,
let us ask ourselves, does Lorne Michaels know who Brandi Carlile is?
I mean, she was on the show for, this is her fourth time on the show, and she performed at SNL 50. Like, I gotta assume he must have some inkling as to who she is by now.
Yeah, I agree. I also say yes, Lorne Michaels does know who Brandi Carlile is at this point.
That's our final
answer.
Even
if it's only in a, I've seen you walking around the hallways all week. I've seen you here before. Did I hire you and fire you in season 47?
I want to say you're Kate McKinnon, but I don't. Yeah. That might not be true.
Yeah, but yeah, she's been on the show before. She was at the 50th. I feel reasonably confident in saying that Lorne Michaels knows who Brandi Carlile is.
Yay! Yeah. I agree. I'm with you.
Sabrina Carpenter? I don't know. That could go either way, but...
But, I mean, Sabrina Carpenter, she performed a song right next to his best friend for life, Paul Simon, at the...
That is true.
So, like, I think she...
But maybe Lorne only has eyes for Paul Simon.
Oh. I mean, of course. The man wrote The Boxer. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't?
Sure, but, sure.
He wrote Cecilia, for crying out loud.
He wrote Cecilia, lifetime pass for Cecilia alone.
Damn straight. Oh, forget about it.
I get up to wash my face. When I come back to bed, someone's taking my place. That's poetry right
what
there.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's cold. That's cold, Cecilia.
Cold blood.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just say that was not right, what you did to that fictional guy in that song.
Yeah. What's up, Cecilia?
Like, you know, let your guy wash his face before you get another partner in bed with you.
Yeah, why are you tripping, girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, let him wash his face. But Brandi Carlile, back to that. Always grade A stuff. Always amazing.
Always a welcome presence at Studio A.
For sure. Yeah.
We enjoy the Brandi Carlile. Thumbs up from both of us.
Two thumbs up. Way up.
So, let's see. We got Weekend Update. Colin just make a change.
Yay!
We're going like Soul Train with the chain this week.
Soul
Train!
It's the hippest trip in America, baby.
Let's see. What are the big news we're talking about this week? They talked about the White House Halloween and Trump's weird tendency to just place candy on top of the heads of children's costumes.
And
I remember that from the first time. I had no idea he did it again until I saw it on SNL.
That's his move.
That's his move. It's just like, I just said something like, you know, yeah, it's obvious that he has no familiarity with trick-or-treating at all.
It would not surprise me if that was true. Like, he doesn't, he seemed to have, I bet he experienced no joy as a child.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, which is a big reason why he is the way he is. But
yeah, like trick-or-treating, you know, you have your butler go out and do that.
Yeah, and also, like, placing it on the head of the kid in the costume, that's such an asshole move.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
it's just, ugh.
Ugh.
Anyway, I loved Che's joke about the remaking of the Lincoln bathroom at the White House. And he says, I'm happy the floor looks slippery.
Hey-o.
Love that. Great joke. No notes.
Good one. It's a good one. Che also had that joke about the Special Olympics to want Kid Rock to stop using the R word, even though he can use it because, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all right.
It was all right. Not too shabby. But overall, weekend update.
I'm in favor of making fun of Kid Rock. Sure.
Yeah. Ball with the ball.
Yeah.
Not a bad weekend update overall. The jokes were okay between them. Nothing really.
I think the big notable things about this weekend update were the two desk pieces. That
yes. Had. Let's get to it.
We got Bowen Yang returning as George Santos, recently released from prison.
Yep.
After what? He just served like a few months, didn't he?
He said, Colin said like 80 days, so barely 3 months.
Oh, geez. Yeah, even less than I thought.
Crime pays, everybody. Crime pays.
Well, crime pays when, you know, certain people are in office. I'm trying not to go on big political rants.
Let's try to be positive. Let's try to be. People come to this podcast for positivity, John.
So he's ostensibly talking about the New York Marathon. But, you know, it's an SNL desk segment piece, so not really.
Right. Like, he kind of confuses being in jail with being on Love is Blind. Right. They had a good joke, a gag where he, like, steals Colin's wallet. And yeah. Colin has a bunch of pictures of all the female cast members in there.
Photo of every single female cast member. And Colin goes like, my angels.
Give me back my angels.
Yeah, they could just kind of unfold from his wallet. I liked how George Santos kept getting phone calls from people like Ghislaine Matthews and Luigi Magnone.
Yeah, and when they do that, he drags out like that little prison glass, and he picks up a phone by the side, like you do when you're when you're visiting somebody in the Who's Gal. And like at one point, you can see the cue cards in the reflection of the glass.
I don't think I noticed that, but okay, good eye.
Go back. You can absolutely see. Like the cue cards in the glass for sure.
And I liked how at the very end of the segment we find out that he was behind the Louvre robbery.
Yes. And then
that was a nice touch.
Yeah. And at the very end he just won the World Series and he puts on a LA Dodgers cap.
Yeah, because George Santos lies a lot, everyone.
Yeah. Bowen, you know, he does a good job at this impression, and yeah, they're always enjoyable.
And not entirely unwelcome return, I'm thinking, because it's been a couple of years since he's done George Santos on the show, so I wasn't as burned out on him as I might have been if he'd been doing George Santos all this time. So
yeah, it's I will agree with that. Like it's been a minute, so I'm like, oh okay, I'm okay with seeing him again. Like
yeah,
for sure. Let's talk about the one that I really want to talk about, the two people who two people who just hooked up, talking about the government shutdown.
Right. This is another Andrew Deuce Meeks, Ashley Padilla. These two, they're really working well together. They've got a nice chemistry.
Yeah, they've been paired already in the NHL promo sketch. They get sort of paired up again in an upcoming sketch here. They were paired up in the Sabrina Carpenter episode with the washing machine sketch. They were even paired up in the promos for this episode. So they really
I think we've got a love connection.
Yeah, I think this. I mean, this week's just got married, so you better.
Yeah, I had a vague memory of him like just getting engaged or just getting married. So I don't mean that literally, people. Yeah. But it is cute because they're playing people who literally just hooked up. They come in, their clothes are askew, their hair's disheveled, and they're talking about the government shutdown obsessively, but. You know, of course, because they just hooked up, everything is going through that filter. So,
right.
So she's saying things like, Republicans are scared because their government hasn't been opened in a long time.
It's like, God, not since Jason.
And Colin's like, who's Jason? Is he a senator? Is he a congressman? She's like, oh, he's not a man.
Yeah, I will say, like, first of all, the chemistry between Dismukes and Padilla is really good. And I don't know, both of them are really doing some really good character work here, too. Like, they're really...
Absolutely agree.
Playing
yes.
it really... I know I said the word real a lot, but they're playing it very real and...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nice naturalistic touches. It's almost kind of sweet because you I heard the name of, like, you know, two people who just hooked up. And I was like, oh, it's just going to be like, oh, we just had, like... sex and blah 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 blah, but they're actually playing the emotions underneath, and it's like these two people who have feelings for each other, or they're maybe trying to figure out their feelings for each other, and that gave it a really interesting subtext, I thought.
Yeah, there was this whole thing where, you know, later on we learned that they hooked up in Colin's dressing room, that, you know,
right,
couch, and they went to the door And then they right. went to more door.
Well, and they tried the desk, but the desk, you know, didn't work. So they went to door.
They went to door, and then they just talked about my brother. So it's just like, I loved that.
And she's like, "Oh, you put up with too much."
He's just trying to get together, man. I don't know. Yeah. That was so like, yeah, just like really fleshing out these characters, but it was funny mm-hmm. too. And then that little turn came where they said, you know, they think Republicans and Democrats just need to get together, and right. then Padilla takes that as, "Oh, are you saying that we should get together?"
And then Dismukes is like, "Well, no, I'm not saying we should get together. We shouldn't get married. I didn't say get married."
I think we should just chill. Oh, just chill.
It becomes a spat.
Yeah.
So. This was really good, and it was actually sort of sweet too. It was a real pleasant surprise.
Yeah, like some really good character building here. It's actually kind of, it tells like a whole story.
There's a lot of good detail in it.
Like I rewatched.
It went really specific, and the performances are just great. This is definitely a highlight of the episode
for sure. Like I rewatched this like maybe three or four times. I really dig. Like every time I go back and watch Padilla's performance and Dismukes' performance, like I appreciate it more and more. Like I really dug this for sure. This was a home run for sure.
This was your sketch of the night. It sounds like.
I mean, it's not a sketch, but I guess so.
Call it a sketch. It's on SNL. It's a sketch.
Yeah, we had sex.
It's on SNL. It's not the musical guest. It's a freaking sketch.
We had sex with your door.
Yeah.
Okay. So next up, we got Murder Press Briefing.
Yes. This is exactly what it says in the title. Mm-hmm. Murder Press Briefing. We got James Austin Johnson as like the police chief. And there's a big murder investigation, and he introduces Miles Teller as the lead homicide detective. And I don't know if you noticed, on the names on all the microphones at the podium are like these really odd news organizations' names. We have News Now Today Now Please.
Okay.
Daily Newsday Today, and Tomorrow Too Daily, which... I enjoyed that. That was a nice touch.
The writers went hog wild on that one.
They did. And we've got Andrew Dismukes as Dave Allen from the Daily Gazette. And he just wants to discuss his email that he just got from DC Comics, informing him that they will not be publishing his unsolicited graphic novel, Gargirl, about a half gargoyle, half girl, all justice.
What do you make of it? Is it a hard pass?
Yeah. And then he later asked follow-up questions. He's like, "Do you think they want to rewrite?"
So basically, like, all the reporters kind of stop asking the cops about this murderer that's on the loose, and they become more mm-hmm. and more interested in this gargoyle. The title of it, it's so hard to say. You got to really...
Gargirl.
Yeah, because even this muse kind of tripped up over it a few times. Gargirl.
Gargirl, yes.
Like gargle, but...
And it comes out over the course of it that she is not a girl transformed into a gargoyle. She is a gargoyle who's been transformed into a girl.
Yeah.
So.
Which is like why? Why? What a weird choice.
Well, that's the twist that really caught Miles Teller's attention. He's like, "Oh, well, in that case, I think it's a lot more interest."
Okay, go ahead.
And I liked how Dismukes like sort of like puffed himself up with each time he's introducing himself. He's you know, first introduces himself as a reporter from the Daily Gazette, then he goes to local author, then visionary creator, then to voice of a generation.
And I mean, my favorite part too of this was, you know, as all the reporters are asking him about Gargirl, mm-hmm. we see James Austin Johnson, who's like the police chief, being like, "Hey, all right, can we just knock it off and stop talking about this Gargirl?" And then Ashley Padilla, as one of the reporters, she just launches into this screechy outburst at the cop, just, "Hey, you shut up, you! You talk about what we won't talk about. Now we talk about what we want to hear what you talk about. Okay, hell."
Like, she gets very indignant.
It's like a Will Ferrell screaming at him. It just comes out of nowhere, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, Padilla is impressing me so much this season. This is rapidly becoming her show.
Yeah, she's really, like, I don't know. The other cast members need to step their game up, because Padilla is out here just...
She is eating this show for lunch, man.
Nom, 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 nom.
And I liked at the end we have Ben Marshall popping up as the murderer in like a ski mask.
Alfonso Julian.
And he arrives to, and he also wants to ask about the comic. I will admit, I couldn't help but wondering, what Michael Longfellow could have done with the part of the murderer. It would have been perfect for him in his deadpan style.
What we could have had.
Yes, I'm still a little bit bitter and a little salty about
that. Same here. Salty all day. I'm like a, I'm like eroded during the wintertime, just all salty.
Yes, exactly.
But I kind of want to make this my sketch of the night. I do like this one quite a bit, and Padilla's screechy outburst does tickle me. So, but like I
enjoyed it quite a bit, and it grew on me even more when I watched it a second time, partly because I have also received rejections from DC Comics.
Oh, boy.
Just a little quick backstory. I have done like work for the DC Comics' licensing department. I've worked on like coloring books and stuff for them. And I have applied for regular job and temporary jobs at DC Comics. Been rejected both times. Ooh, thank you very much.
Wow. So it's home for you.
A little bit.
Okay. The sketch was for you, sir.
It kind of was. I was like, oh, it has to be DC Comics. Okay. All right.
Couldn't have been Marvel. I thought
they're not even in New York anymore. So I can't work for them unless I'm doing it remotely or if I move out to the West Coast. It's a whole thing, people. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole nother podcast. Okay. That's the John's Grievances podcast. Okay.
But yeah, I kind of like this. I just wish the ending was a little bit stronger. The ending kind of, it's a little.
It petered out a little bit. Yeah. It's like, yeah, oh, hey, you're the murderer. We're going to take you in. And he's like, well, at least I'll have lots to read. I did like that they made a dummy copy of the Gargoyle comic, and it had the half gargoyle, half girl, all justice tagline on the front.
Yeah, that's true. So, this one I got a kick out of, I will say. All right, so that you haven't done your rant yet, and we only got one more sketch left. So
I did my rant.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, about the no regular cast members in the cold open.
Oh!
I got my rant out of the way early on, sir.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to rant about this kind of dud of a sketch, the Italian restaurant.
I don't know if it's really worth ranting about. Do you?
Not really. This one was just straight filler.
Italian restaurant date. I did like the line there. They're at the best Italian restaurant in Nebraska. I was like, okay, that's funny. We got Teller and Marcello as a waiter. I think this is the first time we saw Marcello in this entire episode.
Yep, this is the first and only time he's in this episode.
Yeah, with an extremely Latino-sounding Italian waiter.
Yes, he's not doing the exaggerated Latino accent in this episode. He's doing an exaggerated Italian accent in this episode,
which sounded kind of like his Latino accent.
Yeah, showing some range.
Yeah, and so we got. who was it on the date? We got Chloe and Mikey on a date, and they're showing Chloe lots of attention,
they don't like Mikey.
They're like feeding Chloe, and then they're like literally tossing handfuls of salad into Mikey's face.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that. You remember that Bellissima sketch with
Kirstie Alley?
Yeah, this kind of reminded me of like a. Kind of a not as good version of that.
A much milder version of that. I mean, because on that one, you know, they're literally like feeling her up and looking her down her dress.
Yeah, I watched that sketch. I am shocked that Kirstie Alley was okay with that because a lot of that stuff is wowzers.
I mean, Kirstie Alley was game for. I mean, you know, she was on the cheer set and they went kind of out there on the cheer set.
I mean, Dana Carvey literally licks her face. Like all over, it is.
He does.
Wow!
And one of them, I think, like pulled up open the front of her dress and like was like looking straight down it.
Ay caramba.
I mean, and you know, she was obviously cool for it for the name of comedy. I mean,
yeah, but like, hey man, if you're cool with it, yeah, it's cool, man.
Look, I remember Kirstie Alley winning an Emmy for Cheers, and then. In her acceptance speech, she thanked her husband at the time, Parker Stevenson, for giving her the big one for however many years they've been together.
Oh, so sweet.
yeah. So that is what she said. Look it up.
Thank you for that big one.
She says, thank you for giving me the big one the last however many years.
Oh, thank you. I love you too.
So, like when you're referencing your husband's penis in your Emmy acceptance speech, I think you're game for most any type of
I think that's most men's dream.
It could be. It could be. Yeah. Parker Stevenson, as I recall, he had a pretty good quote about it. He said, like, well, I guess she's the big winner and I'm the big wiener.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right.
I mean, how can you mind that of just basically saying, like, oh, yeah, my husband's packing.
Yeah. When Ritra commented, Parker said, I just want to let everybody know that it's been confirmed I have a big penis.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Oh, shit. I understood that reference. All right.
Yeah.
But this sketch is not that.
This was just an sketch.
Yeah, and it ends.
I mean, because we're not even going as far as this other sketch from 30 years ago went. So
yeah, I mean, the farthest this sketch goes, because like they do a lot of pasta puns in this sketch. Like, you know, are you pro pasta or anti pasta? And like it ends with Mikey Day, you know, screaming at the waiters, and then with Marcello telling him to get the fuck out ya.
Yeah. Well, and Keenan comes out as the chef Mario, and Mikey's like, hey, you're not Italian. And
it's like, yeah, I think you look like an old boy.
Yeah. It was just very sketched in the night. And that gave me sort of an feeling about the show overall. But when I rewatched like a few of the sketches right before we started recording, it elevated my opinion of the episode overall. I liked the two people who just hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the Missing Wives docuseries and the murder press briefing. That grew on me.
Yeah, so, they had some good stuff in here. I mean, it ended on a bit of a dud, but overall, I thought this episode was pretty good. Like, it has a lot. It's definitely a lot better than Miles Teller's first outing, and it had a lot of good stuff in here. And I mean, the ascension of Padilla is just. Still astounds me. Mm. Like, she's.
And honestly, I thought Miles Teller did a good job with everything they threw his way.
Yeah, I would say so.
I'd say outside of Whiplash, I've been kind of in on him as an actor. But Whiplash is still the main thing I've seen him in. I never saw the second Top Gun. Didn't see his Fantastic Four movie. I don't know. What else am I missing in the Miles Teller verse?
in the Teller oeuvre?
Yeah.
I mean, those are the.
Those are the main things.
Those are the
right?
main ones. Isn't there one like the Expendables?
I don't know. I find so many leading men today very bland.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's a me thing, if that's a, like a me becoming old and jaded and out of touch, or if all these leading men in movies today are genuinely that bland.
No.
Or maybe some combination of the two.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like, I mean, I've read a lot of articles about how a lot of leading men these days don't really have that star quality, that movie.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, Tom Cruise is the last great movie star or whoever. I mean,
I'm not nuts about Tom Cruise in general, but yeah, he does have that movie star quality. He does have that charisma. I totally get why he became like the big star that he did.
Yeah. But yeah.
You know, but guys like Miles Teller and Glenn Powell and even Adam Driver to a degree, I just look at him and I'm like, I don't get it.
But John, he has to know that I fought for him.
He needs to know that I fought for
him. There it is. Yeah. Bringing it back, baby.
That's going back. Someday I got to sit down and actually watch Marriage Story. I've been making fun of this movie for like 3 or 4 years now, and I still have not seen it beyond the preview.
Okay. All right. So Miles Teller, he was in, there was that Apple movie, The Gorge, which I haven't seen. With he is Anya Taylor-Joy.
Didn't see it. I know he did that thing with Jonah Hill.
Oh, War Dogs.
Yeah. Was that any good?
I thought it was interesting because it was done by the same guy that did The Hangover. And this was like the first movie that wasn't a full-on comedy. Because like, yeah, War Dogs, it has some funny moments, but for the most part, it's pretty much a
drama. So between Hangover and before Joker.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Between Hangover and Joker. Yeah, it's the transitional movie.
Yeah, it's like a lot more darker than I expected to be and a lot more of dramatic. And I believe Ana de Armas is in that in one of her earliest roles.
Well, okay, you know, the filmmakers buried the lead then. If you tell me that Ana de Armas is in a movie, I'm going to want to watch it.
Yeah. Oh, and of course.
Come on.
Yeah. And of course he was.
Ana de Armas. Yeah. That is somebody who has star quality.
Yes. Maron.
Yeah.
And of course he was in that Fantastic Four film, which was god.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that.
It's so bad.
Have you seen it?
I saw it in a theater with some friends.
Like
it was their choice, not mine. And
okay.
It was worse than I.
You took one for the team.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof.
That was one where I was like, I watched the preview and I was like, yeah, there's no way I would enjoy that film.
No, it stinks on it.
They just missed the mark. They miscast everybody.
And it stinks on it. Even the director didn't like it. I think didn't.
Yeah, I remember the director. I can't remember the name of the director now, but he was like on the day it opened, he tweeted out like, you know, a year ago I had a great version of this movie that everyone would have loved, but that's showbiz.
Yeah.
And I think he had to take that down because it was just...
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
The studio heads weren't wild about that?
Probably not, but yeah.
Trank. I think Josh Trank was his
name? Yeah, Josh Trank. That was it. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's directed anything since. I mean, certainly nothing of that scale.
Yeah, he's kind of been persona non grata ever since, unfortunately.
Yes. Which is also a thing that you sprinkle on spaghetti.
Yes.
Persona non grata.
Mamma mia.
Yeah.
At the spicy meatball.
Going back to the Italian restaurant.
So,
I originally thought this was an ass show, but now I'm like, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's not the greatest. There wasn't any instant classic that I loved, like Experienced Lawyers from the Amy Poehler show. Oh. That's still far and away the highlight of the season for me so far, but.
Right. No, that's the bar right now. That's the high bar.
Look, I mean, what I want out of SNL now, I just want to see like, Andrew Dismukes, James Austin Johnson, Ashley Padilla. I just want to see them get together and do more weird stuff.
I think the word is out because it's not just us saying that how good Padilla is or saying that. Like, it seems like every time I go on the interwebs, a lot of people are singing the praises of Padilla and a lot of people are singing the praises of Dismukes. So I think we're at the start of something here. This is the start of both of them.
Yeah.
Like Ash Mukes.
Ash Mukes. I love it. Love it. Ash Mukes.
Ash Mukes.
Hashtag Ash Mukes. Let's get that going.
Let's do it.
Ash Mukes.
Yeah. And while we're at it, let's just check on the Blue Sky on our account and see what you people thought about this episode. Let's see what you.
Yeah. What do you mean, you people?
You know what I mean. You people.
Something racist?
Of course.
Okay. All right. Good. Just making sure.
Yep. That's exactly how I meant it to sound.
Just making sure.
Our good friend Nick at Nick's Door says, I liked it. I thought this contained more funnies than any other episode this season.
Ooh.
Up until the last sketch. I think I was chuckling in every sketch throughout. Sketch of the night was the missing wise Netflix. He meant Doc. He wrote Dick.
Dick.
Moment of the night was Mikey walking into the newsroom background wall.
Yeah, I was so on that sketch, but that was some good physical comedy.
He does some good physical comedy. Like I mean that whole episode, that whole thing he did at the Weekend Update desk where there's a spider on him. I'm still impressed by that. I was like, oh wow, he's really good.
Yeah, that was good. That was also good. Yeah, it was got caught in his shirt and stuff. I'd forgotten that. Let's see, our friend He Lion. He says, hey guys, quick rant. Emil Joachim was right there. Right?
This is
what I'm saying. Right?
Right?
And if I see Trump one more time, I'm going to nothing because we are just gluttons for pain. SNL is beating us down with him and I'm sick of it.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, you and I are like mind melded this week, man. Other than that, it was a great episode. Funny sketches. Miles seems fun. Love you guys. Peace.
Heart. I'm surprised. Yeah, because like usually Lehigh He Lion is always pretty positive. So even another appearance by Trump was enough to bring out the anger and hate in our.
Well, here's the thing. I think if we're going to continue on with Trump, you know, on SNL, not just us as a country. I think they need to work harder to find new ways to approach him and new ways to parody him.
Yeah.
And new slants. Like this week, I feel was somewhat successful doing the Property Brothers thing with Trump. That's a new thing.
Yeah.
I say go even further. Like bring the necktie down to his freaking ankles. Literally dress him up as Jabba the Hutt.
Yes.
I mean, let's go completely cartoonish with him.
Let's go crazy.
Because he is such a cartoon character in real life. I think he demands that level of parody.
Yeah, like, so, at this point, him rambling at the audience, breaking the fourth wall, interrupting cold opens, that's been done to death. Every time I see that coming up now, I'm like, I kind of roll my eyes, because, like, it's...
Let's go super exaggerated and surreal. I think that's the only way to do a Trump parody these days.
Let's get weird, people. Let's get weird.
You know, it's not enough to just do a great impression and more or less repeat things he actually said.
Yeah. Hear, hear. Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and our good friend at I Heart Hater saying, was not expecting the Shane Gillis jump scare.
I love that they're calling it a jump scare. That's
not good. Other than the cold open cameos, another balanced views of all cast members, I can't help but think Vince Blake would have been a perfect to host that game show. Miss Evil Fame Show host energy. Love the love from We Heart Hater / Saturday Night Ladies.
Vince Blake, if I remember correctly, that was Bill Hader's character from What's That Name, right?
Yes, of course. His I'll bring it up again, but yeah, like Longfellow as the game show host for that sketch would have worked a lot better.
That was one of the things I liked about Longfellow was he would play a note that nobody else on the show was playing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's also the thing I like about Sarah Sherman is she plays notes that nobody else on the show is playing.
Yes, that's.
I don't like seeing cast members who duplicate what other cast members do or just do the, or when they just do like one little tiny specific thing that doesn't apply to that many situations.
Yeah,
like let's say Jane Wickline.
Ooh.
You know, just to
point
out somebody who was barely in the show this week.
She's. I don't know. We'll see where that goes.
I don't know. You can always use a deadpan guy in comedy sketches.
That's true. The deadpan works. And, you know, the fact that she had that thing with the couple, you can't believe it, together with Marcello, that still plays. But we'll see where.
I would be thrilled to never see that
again. Yeah. Oh, boy.
And I don't know. I mean, when it comes to being the host in a game show sketch on SNL, there's Bill Hader and then there's everybody else.
Yes. He is.
I'm gesturing with my hand right now.
I see it.
Like when the Bill Hader gesture is way higher and the everybody else is way lower.
No, he is the gold standard. He is the one that we judge all other game show hosts by.
Yes. I mean, it is a height that other people can never hope to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see them stop trying, but let's just go in with the understanding that Bill Hader, one of the things he was put on this earth to do was to play sadistic game show hosts SNL sketches.
It's his calling.
His calling.
Absolutely.
And he does many other things well as
too.
He's a great impressionist. He was wonderful in Barry.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a director.
Yeah. He does that stuff good.
Quite the movie buff.
Yes. Quite the cinephile, some would say.
I mean, you know, look, I just want to hang out with Bill Hader, okay?
Yeah, this is Bill Hader. If you're listening, the whole reason we started this podcast is because we want to hang out with you sometime. That's the whole mission of this podcast.
That's right.
Will you be our friend, Bill Hader?
He's also a comic fan, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, we could talk about comics. We could talk about movies and stuff.
Yeah, you know, we could meet up, have some sodas, just chill, you know.
We won't even, like... You know, we won't even hit on the anxiety thing because, the anxiety thing has been done to death.
Yeah.
And, you know, God bless you for being upfront about it and all that. But now you have to, like, talk about anxiety in every freaking interview you do. That's got to be a drag.
Yeah, now you got to be the anxiety guy. But we won't talk about that. We'll talk about stuff like, you know, the Dana Carvey show and, like, nerdy shit. We'll talk about that. Like comedy nerd shit. We'll talk about
that. We'll just be like, what's your Letterboxd top four? Bill Hader.
Yes.
Will you follow me on Letterboxd? I'm at Trumbull Comic on Letterboxd.
There you go. See, what's your favorite Monty Python movie? We'll talk about cool stuff like that. It won't be weird because you barely know us. It'll be cool.
It won't be. You know.
So, you know.
We're not a strict mom. We're a cool mom.
Yeah. Ha ha. Oh, glorious. And on that note, listeners, thanks again for listening to this lovely podcast. As always, you could follow us on Blue Sky at SNL Nerds. You could listen to this podcast at non-productive.com. Donate to our Patreon. Look at our YouTube page. You can listen to this madness on the YouTubes. as
yes, if you go over to non-productive on YouTube, you can find the archive of all the SNL Nerds episodes. They are all up there now. Every episode since when did we start this? Like season 44, I think it was.
I think so. Wow, we've been doing this way too long.
We have, we have. It's become a living hell. We've made our own hell. But hey, we get to watch movies during the off week, so that's fun.
That's neat. Yeah, there you go.
That's neat. And like, even if you don't like SNL, I guarantee you, we've covered a movie that you're at least a little interested in.
Yeah, you guys must like movies, right? What are you, weirdos?
Yeah, you got. Yeah, what are you, weirdos that don't like movies? Come on, what's up with that?
Yeah, ooh wee, what's up with that?
Yeah, what is up with that?
Yeah, and as anyway, yeah, and as always, you can follow me on all the socials at Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-A-N Credible.
And you can follow me on all the socials like Letterboxd at Trouble Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic.
Nice.
And, I mean, what are we doing for SNL next week?
Because
apparently it falls to us to put on the show.
Yes, all right, I gotta work on building some...
So who are we hiring as the host and the musical guest? Let's decide right now.
Okay, how about Nikki Glaser? She's in town.
Okay, cool, great, co-signed.
And musical guest, this guy, Somber.
Great. Don't know him, but I hear he's available. So
I hear the kids like him on the Tickle Talks.
And very conveniently, it is also who Saturday Night Live has also already hired to be the host and musical guest for next week's show.
See?
So
it all works.
It's great that we picked them.
Yes, yeah. We done did good.
I'm going to be really interested to see what Nikki Glaser does as an SNL host. She's had an incredible couple of years as a stand-up. She had her big breakout at the Tom Brady roast a while back. This I think has she's hosted some award shows. This has a potential to catapult her to the next level.
I think so. I mean, she's been like selling out arenas and theaters, like you said. She's done doing TV tours. I'm really looking forward to the monologue. I really think she's going to kill it. On that monologue.
Yeah, she's an incredible, incredible comic. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does. Somber, you know, pretty unknown quantity to me. Don't know what we're in store for there, but you know, we'll find out. Maybe I'll discover somebody I like as much as Brandi Carlile.
Yeah, we'll see.
So
we'll see.
Oh, also, almost forgot before we sign off, we got another review of the podcast on the Apple Pods.
Yes, we did.
So, yeah, this is from October 12th this year. This is from Stats 1203. It says, very dedicated, very much appreciate the effort these hosts put in. Very enjoyable listen. So thank you very much, Stats 1203.
Thank you, so, Stats. Thank you so much.
We appreciate that.
That keeps me. That keeps us going.
We do put effort in.
Yeah, I know it seems like a ramshackle little podcast we just throw together on a whim, but no.
Well, it's also that too.
Yeah,
that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, but we put effort into this, I swear.
We put effort into it, and then we occasionally half-ass it.
Yeah, this is us trying.
So, we watch some sketches twice.
Yeah.
We take notes as we watch. We don't... Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, this, we give a shit. We're doing it.
We do. We give a shit like 98% of the time.
Yeah, we give all the shit 98% of the time. Yeah. We give so much shit.
Anyway, I think we reached the point of detention. So, we're going to wrap this up. We'll see you here next week with Nikki Glaser and Somber. I don't think they're going to be in the studio with us, but hey, you never know. We'll find out together. So join us next week for that. But until then, nerds out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.